Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. This is episode 19. We're going to talk all things the Raw reunion, SmackDown Live, a whole bunch of stuff, AEW's announcement for TNT and their weekly show, and possibly WWE putting NXT up against it. We've got a lot to go through today, so stay tuned. This is another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. As always, I've got Brandon on the other line. Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
Dolph Ziggler, but I'm doing pretty great. How you doing, Jim?
You've been waiting. You thought about it at the end of the last show where you said Dolph Ziggler to close the show, and you've probably just been waiting for the next one, getting ready to go Dolph Ziggler when we open. Tell me I'm wrong.
I honestly didn't think of it until this very second, but I mean, when I thought about it...
I don't believe a second.
I wish I had that much foresight, man. I wish.
Oh, that's funny. Yes, if folks listened to the show last week, we talked about a lot of topics, but hot on Brandon's topics list was Dolph Ziggler and how he's being shafted by WWE. So
it's not even like I talk about him a ton usually either. Like, I mean, I love Ziggler, but I don't like harp on him ever. Like, it is what it is. But for some reason, last week, it was the Dolph Ziggler, I don't know, it was the marathon.
It probably doesn't help that I wasn't trashing him, but I was more realistic in what I think WWE thinks that he is, and that irked you to no end. So no wonder it was on your brain. But, you know, this week we won't have much to talk about in terms of Dolph Ziggler, because outside of a potential rumor that he was maybe going to wrestle a legend at SummerSlam, the rumor being Shawn Michaels, which I don't think is actually a rumor, or at least much of a rumor. There's not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to Dolph Ziggler this week.
Well, he had like that whole thing on SmackDown with Shawn Michaels where they kind of like teased that they're going to wrestle, and they had like that whole exchange in the ring.
Yes.
So here's where I'm at with that. If you go back even to like the early 2010s, which is like obviously the end of Shawn Michaels' rope, versus Dolph Ziggler then, I'd be interested. And that's like, you know, the end of when I would be interested. We are almost 2020, and Shawn Michaels has wrestled one match in the last, what, 5-6 years? And it wasn't exactly like he wrestled much. I mean, sorry, he definitely wrestled in it because Triple H tore his pec or his arm or whatever it was that he tore this time. Yeah. So Shawn Michaels had to be in the ring. And no disrespect to him, but he's obviously not. Like, I don't want to tarnish what Shawn Michaels is and was with a match like this. Even if Ziggler can carry most of it, Shawn Michaels obviously isn't able to go in the ring. And again, maybe if he trained and everything, no problem. But the guy doesn't wrestle. You can't just expect a guy to go out there years later and say, oh yeah, I'm still one of the best of all time. So I don't really want to see it.
I'm curious as to how much he gets in the ring when it comes to the training down at NXT, or if he's just writing things on paper. But
even then, though, right? Like, there's no replicating actually being in a ring and wrestling.
Well, it's hard when you have this standard to live up to like Shawn Michaels does. It's not like Goldberg Undertaker in a match, right, where it's a train wreck. You expect
that's the thing. Like, Michaels, right? he could probably go for 10 minutes and not look horrible. But, like, I want to see Dolph Ziggler versus Shawn Michaels. I want it to be the main event of WrestleMania worthy. I don't want to see a match where I'm like, okay, well, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think there was a tease this week on SmackDown that there may be something there. I don't think that there will be. That Miz TV segment on SmackDown, from what I understand, wasn't even supposed to happen. Vince McMahon came in the last final hour before Tuesday SmackDown and rewrote the entire show. If you saw any of the articles that we did before, Michaels was supposed to be on commentary for that whole show. There was no Corey Graves and there was no Byron Saxton. Michaels was supposed to be at the commentary table. He even tweeted it out not long before the reunion show that he was going to be doing that. And then they threw that out the window last minute and made that Miz TV segment with him. So what happened there probably wasn't planned. So the idea that those two were going into something or building towards a match is probably a stretch. That was just something that they did and rewrote last minute. Michaels was already there. It's a good segment to do. He was supposed to be using the show. Why not, right?
Yeah, and I think we even talked about it it was last week or something, we talked about Shawn Michaels and how you said you wouldn't want it to be like a full-time thing to take away from his time at NXT. So it's definitely been talked about with the commentary thing, and we knew that there was something to do with that. You're onto something there by saying that this probably wasn't like any kind of long lasting impactful segment. It was probably just a one-off, or you know, maybe they last second decided, hey, this is what we're doing. That's also possible. But yeah, no, you're onto something there for sure.
Well, let's remind everybody where they can hear this, and then we'll run through Raw and SmackDown this week. So anchor.fm is where we host the show, thesportster.com, wrestlingwriteups.com, Facebook pages, Twitter pages, YouTube now, and then pretty much every podcast platform that you can think of, you can find the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast. So anybody who wants to listen to it, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, comment on it, and give us your feedback. We greatly appreciate it. And the more you share this, the better off it's going to be for us. So,
yeah, if you stumble across it on some kind of platform and you say, oh, this is cool, but I don't want to put the effort to watch it on YouTube, or I don't want to put the effort to, I don't know, listen to it on Anchor. If you have Spotify, if you have Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever you want, you know, whatever your preferred platform method is, like, we're there. So,
cool. All right, well, let's start with the Raw reunion. That's probably the big news of the week, right? Everybody sure. Geared up for the show. About 40-plus superstars rumored to make their return. And from what I can understand, everybody was there, including some that weren't advertised. The only one who wasn't was Sid Vicious, or Psycho Sid, depending on how you know him and want to call him. I understand that he wasn't there simply because a few days prior to the event, he just pulled out. Whether or not that's because of a softball game, he's a big softball person for those that don't know, or he just didn't want to come, whatever the case might be. WWE knew he wasn't on any of the marketing materials. He wasn't on the chairs or the t-shirts or anything they sold. He just wasn't there. But everybody else was, including a few other people that we didn't know were going to be there, mainly and most prominently probably Rob Van Dam of Impact Wrestling. I told you about that before, and you were like, what? How did that happen? Why did Impact Wrestling allow that to happen?
Yeah, so I didn't see that segment. I was skimming through Raw in general, and I must have missed it. And you said Rob Van Dam, and I was like, okay, so let me immediately look into this, because there's no, you must be thinking of something else. You must be incorrect about this. You brought up a great point, too. You said Rob Van Dam being on Raw is great for Impact, because for the same reason, or for the same reaction that I had, if people are going to say, wait a second, how can Rob Van Dam be on Raw if he works for Impact Wrestling? Or even just seeing Rob Van Dam, they think, oh, what's he up to lately? And they, you know, they Google him, go to his Wikipedia page. They see he's with Impact Wrestling. That gets eyes to the product. If one person does it, it's a success, right? So it's a. And I mean, I love RVD. That guy is. I love RVD. There's no way.
He certainly looks different than he did before. He's. I mean, I don't keep up necessarily as much with Impact Wrestling and watch the show week to week on Twitch or anything like that. So I haven't seen what kind of ring shape he's in. But in terms of how you might remember him for the typical WWE fan that doesn't watch Impact Wrestling, he did not look like his normal RVD self. That said, he did talk to WWE.com in an exclusive video afterwards and said, you know, it was really good to be back. How do you have a Raw reunion without Mr. Monday Night? And he did say in another video that Impact gave him permission to show up and appear at the show, but not to wrestle. He said he was prepared to wrestle, and a fan actually asked him why he didn't, but he's like, I was good to go, but Impact wouldn't let him. So that appearance was just for the sake of getting somebody on who was a big part of the Monday Night Wars. And he was a huge part of those wars back when he was part of the ECW, then eventually WWE. So it made sense to have him there. And if you're going to have that many people, well, why not Rob Van Dam?
He also wouldn't have been able to wrestle anyway, from my understanding, because he has like some eye thing that makes it like he's not able to be cleared by WWE. So for whatever reason, like he said this a few years ago, I think it was his eye thing, or maybe it was, I think it was an eye, or maybe, I don't know, I don't think it was concussions, but it was definitely something where he said, like he answered a fan on Twitter, and he's like, yeah, no, they can't clear me because of this thing, and it's not going away. But I do believe it was an eye issue. But
well, yeah, it's
a shame.
Talking about guys not getting cleared. I think the most laugh out loud moment I think I had from the entire show, and then afterwards having read about some of the people that were on it, was the fact that so many guys did not get cleared, and Rikishi was not physically cleared to give a stink face to anyone in the ring. I mean, what the heck, man? Like, what do you need to get cleared to shove your ass in someone's face? Like, why do you need clearance for that?
Yeah, you don't need to run or anything like that. Like, if you just stand, turn around, and, like, walk backwards.
Somebody
like,
from the Revivals just needs to sit down in the corner and let Rikishi shove his butt in their face. I mean, that's all he did. I mean, it was fun to watch, but that was his thing, right? And they couldn't even get him cleared for that. So there were so many guys at this Raw reunion that couldn't get cleared, from Pat Patterson to Rikishi to Hogan and Flair to all these guys that couldn't do any physical altercation at all because medical wouldn't clear them. I mean, I guess it tells you one thing about WWE's medicals. Now they're, you know, stingy enough. Very careful.
Yeah,
they're stingy enough that these guys aren't getting in.
I'll say this. CM Punk's lawsuit and Daniel Bryan's injuries must have done something.
Yeah, maybe. And you know these guys wanted to, too. You know that Hogan and Flair would have loved to get mixed up into something. And, you know, Rikishi would have loved to. Because originally, I think the match was supposed to be the Usos and Rikishi versus the Revival. And whoever they wrestled. Who were they wrestling with in that opening contest? I'm trying to remember. But
I'm also trying to remember.
But it wound up being Devon Dudley. Oh, it was Devon Dudley.
Yeah, it was Devon. There you go. Yeah. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, there you go. So... It was supposed to be another way around.
And they just ended up being, like, on, like, the sideline instead. Yeah. Devon being there was, like, so random.
Well, he's always there, right? He works backstage for WWE. But the fact that he was there without Bubba Ray, that is weird. You know, it's not quite the same.
I was kind of expecting, because obviously, this would have also shocked me, because obviously Bubba Ray does his own thing. Like, Bully Ray, obviously now elsewhere, does his own thing. But... I would have been shocked, but also like very happy to see him just come out and just for a one-off. And now that RVD was there, I'm a little upset that they couldn't find any kind of arrangement for it. To be fair, they'd also have to convince him, right? Like, he would want to be there. It's a two-way street.
They invited him, and he declined.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, he said on Twitter that he had been invited, and he turned it down, just like Jim Ross had been invited, turned it down. I think the deal is Bubba Ray is so... you know, engrossed in ROH and trying to help that company out and stuff like that, that he maybe just sort of felt. And he's been talking a lot of stuff about WWE on his Busted Open radio show. So you never know, right? It could be any one of those things, or he just didn't feel like he needed to be part of a group of 40 and do a small little cameo that didn't really matter. So he is an active wrestler, unlike a lot of those guys. So it could potentially hurt him to come on a show where he looks like an idiot. When he's still trying to be, you know, the biggest villain character in ROH, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, for RVD and Impact, not so much RVD, but for Impact Wrestling, it's kind of nice to have, eyes sent to the product. For Ring of Honor, they could also use that kind of promotion, but I think in his mind, maybe, and obviously this is just speculation, but it's possible that he thought, you know what, me showing up on WWE TV might be counterproductive to me trying to, like, help this company. Because ROH has some of the best, like, if you go to, like, the current roster in WWE, you're talking about, like, just a ton of alum from ROH. Like, it's not a small company. The biggest stars in the company today are all from Ring of Honor, pretty much. But still, it's not a company... like, obviously, now Ring of Honor is probably on par or below Impact Wrestling, let's say. You know, they're probably equivalents, maybe a little bit less. And that's now also below New Japan and below AEW and below WWE. So when you have that kind of a ladder, like a pecking order, you need to make sure that you have the right approach to building it. Or rebuilding it, I guess. So for Bully Ray to decide, hey, you know what, I'm good. And it also could be like what you said too, right? Like, why would I want to go there for a small segment? Been there, done that. No disrespect to the company or anything. I'm good. I have no issue with that. But it would have been nice.
And you know, Bully Ray is kind of a dick. So he could.
Yeah, and like, so that's not us making fun of him. That's him, like, self-admitted. Like, that's who he is, and that's okay. Right.
Yeah, and so he might find value in being able to say, hey, I'm one of the few guys to turn it down. Right? Sure. Like, to be able to go on his radio show and go, you know what, I didn't need that. Why would I do that, right? There's something for him there, right, to do that.
We should stick with that segment, though, actually.
What's that?
We should stick with that segment, but what were you going to say first?
Oh, I was actually going to move on to another one. So what do you want to do? What are you thinking about with that segment?
So, prior to the
Uso stuff?
Yeah, so John Cena was out there, and he was talking and everything, and the Usos came out, and they basically, you know, prompted him to start rapping, because that's what... That's what a Raw reunion be without old school John Cena. And obviously the crowd pops for it every time. And Cena at one point very noticeably said, respect for calling me out, but ain't no way I'm getting bested. Y'all look like your mugshot. How was it getting arrested? And the Usos, you know, they were laughing and the crowd was laughing and it was really funny. But you're like, wow, that's kind of like that's a shot, especially considering it was so recent. because, you know, Jay had gotten arrested for, I believe it was a DUI, like, last year, and Jimmy this year, he and, obviously, Naomi had their issue, and lo and behold, today, this morning, as we record this morning, Jimmy Uso was arrested for a DUI.
Yeah, what, I don't know what's wrong with that guy, like, all of, both of them, I mean, they just signed brand new contracts, they have it, you know, made in the bag, really. I mean, the last time that he got pulled over, he wasn't driving, Naomi was, and the only reason he even noticed was she was going the wrong way down a one-way street or something stupid like that. But, yeah, I mean, come on. Like, this is getting to the point where it's a little bit ridiculous. Now, I'm not sure it's at the level where, you know, an idiot like Brad Shepard would get on and say, oh, everything's falling apart, WWE's so worried that he's going to lose his wife, Naomi, which he tweeted today, which is so uncalled for. You have no idea what's going on in that situation, and to pretend that you do is pretty arrogant. But at the same time, you know, to be the Usos and to have what you have and to continually get in this kind of trouble, and all WWE can say, hey, is these guys are responsible for their own actions. That's all they ever tweet anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look good. Some people are calling it the John Cena curse or whatever. It just very, very strange that within, you know, 48 hours of them making comment on it, he goes and does something like this. So I don't know what that means for him in WWE. Probably nothing, because the last two times have meant absolutely nothing. But at some
they
point,
always say the same thing, like, this person's allowed to do what they want to do. It's fine. Jeff Hardy also just got arrested for like being passed out drunk and everything, and drunk and disorderly. So, I mean, it's a shame. And these guys, look, more than anything, and obviously people are going to make their jokes, and they have made their jokes about, like, the Uso penitentiary and everything, and it's easy to laugh at someone's expense, but obviously these guys have issues to some extent, right? So, like, just, I don't know. WWE needs to step up and help these guys, and maybe they're trying to. We know that they've tried to with people in the past, like Tammy Sitch, Sunny, with all the rehab and stuff for her, but sometimes people just can't be helped or don't want to be helped or don't know how to be helped. So it's a shame. I don't know that the Usos have anything wrong with them. Maybe they just have bad decision-making.
Yeah, maybe their judgment just sucks.
But, you know, I mean, it could be more, it could be less. At the same time, I really don't care. It's not my point. It's not my place to, like, judge a guy and say, hey, you are an idiot for it. I can say, hey, your judgment should be better, but we also don't know what happens behind the scenes. So sucks, but is what it is.
All right. Well, I mean, no point in dwelling on that one. We'll see where it goes. No. The segment I was going to move on to, which I kind of took some notes from and really paid attention to, was, well, one, the club is no longer the club. They are now the OC, which, I mean, unless you know teen bop or TV shows, some people are hating that name because the OC was a really cheesy, you know, after school drama type television. So, yeah. But the segment itself, I hated only because I was not a fan of trying to put a faction you're absolutely going to try and push to the moon and make serious against, you know, DX, New Age Outlaws, NWO, The Click, three quarters of which can barely walk, and then to try to make that look serious as if they'd be scared away from those guys. Those are the reasons I don't like reunion shows like this, because it's really hard to work in current storylines and make them believable. This was about as good as they could do with the situation. Another key factor for me out of that was the fact that Seth Rollins was never supposed to be anywhere near that segment. It was planned for Ricochet, who's got an elbow injury, so he wasn't even able to make the show. It's hard to know if Ricochet is going to, you know, he won't be hurt by this long term, but what would it have done for him had he been part of that segment, right? You know, it was a real rub. The idea was that, you know, DX, you know, given that rub to Ricochet would have been really good for him. I'm not sure how much I believe in that. But I think these guys think DX and New World Order are way more important than they actually are. So I don't know that would have really done anything for them. Did you like the new name, the OC?
No, I mean, until you said it just now, I didn't even put the two and two together. But, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I guess they're trying to, like, separate from the club. But why?
Well, yeah, I didn't like the club either. I just thought it was a really cheap attempt to try to do something with the Bullet Club and not use the Bullet Club. So just the laziness of the club.
Well, how much better does the Bullet Club sound than the club? Like, it's not even comparable, right? The Bullet Club sounds great. Having just the club was obviously missing something. Even the Balor Club sounds better than the club.
Yeah, I would not a fan of the Balor Club either. But
there's still definitely, like, a tier list there.
Yeah, the OC will work. It's just going to take a minute for people to get over the you know, sticker shock of the cheesy old drama show. But they'll make it work. The shirts are cool. I thought
they're really cool.
Pretty awesome.
I agree with that.
And the idea that at some point Balor might come back after his vacation and join that group, I'm all over that. That would be great. And I see that happening, the way that he's trending towards. I mean, he's officially going to be wrestling The Fiend at SummerSlam. We now know that. I don't think it will be as The Demon, but it might be. Right now, it just looks like it's Balor versus The Fiend. When he loses, and he will, they'll probably take him away for a couple months to bring him back to join the club at some point, or the OC.
Or it'll probably be the club again by then.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I don't know. Were there any segments you really like from the reunion show? I'm never a huge fan of these shows because they're basically nostalgia with no point. But was there anything that you keenly liked out of it?
Nothing really stands out as like superb. I mean, I was fine with it. Like, nostalgia's fine. You know what you're getting out of it. You're not getting a show that's going to really push storylines forward. You're just getting a fun show that you can kind of enjoy and just, you know, laugh at a bit. Say, oh, look, hey, it's Briscoe, and hey, it's Kelly Kelly. And I did think Kelly Kelly was pretty cool, but especially after her interview just recently with Chris Van Vliet, friend of the show. That was was a good talk there. So it's good to see that they were able to get some people that, like, I mean, I know they advertised a lot of people, but some people that I was still like, oh, wow, I didn't expect to see them there. So that was fun. But yeah, like you said, these shows are hard to pull off because there's really not much you can do. And I think, wasn't it the New Age Outlaws against the club on, like, the show? Remember when it was the two shows, Raw, whatever it was? And they had, like, the two arenas, like the original arena Raw for Raw.
25.
Was it 25? Yeah, I think it was. It was still the club then as well that was in that match. No, maybe it was Revival. I don't know. Regardless of what it was, I'm pretty sure it might just be a familiarity thing for the older guys, because Anderson and Gallows know what they're doing. If it was Revival instead, then disregard, I'm an idiot. But otherwise.
No, there was a scene where, but it was Balor was part of that in the Raw 25 show. So Balor and Anderson and Gallows came out with the DX guys and all those guys in the ring and the NWO. So they did something similar at Raw 25, but instead of AJ Styles, it was Finn Balor.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. No, I do remember that. I'll tell you, there were two segments, though, that I kind of liked. I mean, the segment itself I thought was the final closing of the show where Austin came out and talked to the fans. I thought that was fantastic. He continues to prove that if you brought him back today, even though he couldn't wrestle, he'd still be the most entertaining part of the entire show. That guy's so natural on the mic. He can work that crowd so well. And he talked about it. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to say. And Jonathan Coach is like, just go do what you do. And so he came out and he did what he did. And he sucks you in for about 8-9 minutes, right? So that was really good. And then The Fiend taking out Mick Foley. I'm not sure necessarily why they had him take out a legend. It doesn't really make sense to what's going on, but at the same time, it's kind of cool. Yeah. So I was a fan of that too. But the rest of the show I could have left without. Didn't really do much for me, but those two segments I thought were pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing $1 Million Man do, like, the, you know, buying anything.
The title.
Yeah.
Man, if I don't know if you're old enough, but I remember being a kid and watching back when WWE was first on primetime Saturday Night's Main Event, where Andre the Giant faced Hulk Hogan, and $1 Million Man bought two referees, the Hebner-Britt twins, and tried to buy the title off Andre the Giant after he won it or stole it from Hulk Hogan. That reminded me of that so much. I was like, oh, this is great. But it was really, really kind of cool.
Yeah, so with him, I mean, you always know what you're going to get with $1 Million Man, but it's always so good. I know that they used to, like, do a lot of, like, kayfabe stuff. So, like, was it Coco Beware that was blind for a bit?
You mean, like, naturally or part of
the storyline? No, like, part of the storyline. Like, he had, like, acid thrown in his eyes, and he was blind.
There was Jake Roberts, who was, because Rick the Model sprayed him with that misty perfume stuff he used to carry around all the time. Might have been Coco Beware. I'm not sure.
So, I think it was Coco Beware. And basically, he would lead, like, it's not like you see now. Like, you'll see, like, Samoa Joe and, like, Kofi Kingston and stuff on, like, up, up, down, down. Back then, you would see, like Coco Beware was blind on TV. Okay, great. So whenever he leaves his house, he pretended to be blind until, like, the storyline ended. WWE would give a limo to Ted DiBiase, and they would say, like, okay, buy every single person in the restaurant you're at. Like, just randomly. Buy everyone in the restaurant dinner, and, like, we'll cover the bill. just so it looks real. So, like, yeah. Stuff like that is, like, I mean, I don't mind having stuff like it is today. I actually think it's fine. But I know some people are, like, super sticklers for it. And I can understand why you would be, because that's a really cool level of commitment that you don't really see today. Yeah. Again, not that it's also partly by design, because they want to separate the fact that it's not real, even though they also want it to seem real. I really don't know how they, like, it's like Vince McMahon wants to toe the line of, and he's not really sure what he wants you to believe. But yeah, no, Ted DiBiase is just great.
Yeah, well, there really wasn't a point in doing those types of things anymore once he pulled the curtain back, right? Once he told everybody that it was all, you know, entertainment. And for the longest time, they tried to get away with not doing that. Now that they do, what's the point, right? Why have these guys go out and spend all that money and be in character when everybody knows that you're actually promoting the fact that it isn't real? So, yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I don't know what else to cover for Raw, but what about SmackDown? Was there anything that you took away from that show?
I mean, you mentioned there's obviously The Fiend against Balor, so that's the whole thing.
It looks like Charlotte might be facing Trish Stratus at SummerSlam. That's, you know, Charlotte and Ember Moon were doing their program. Ember Moon's obviously going to go on and face Bayley, but Charlotte is now potentially moving on to fight Trish Stratus at SummerSlam. That should be interesting. That show felt very sort of thrown together to me. It was like they brought legends on that weren't necessarily supposed to be there. There was a lot of last-minute changes. And like we said, Vince McMahon completely rewrote the entire show, you know, just a couple hours before they aired it. So a lot of things changed, and it sort of felt that way. I guess the biggest take for me was that at this point, Bischoff isn't involved in the show. He was at his first production meeting just talking to creative, but he hasn't put any stamp or his own personal anything on this show yet. And Heyman's been all over Raw. So it's interesting to see how quickly or slowly they're working these guys in. But I'm more curious to see what happens with SmackDown once Bischoff takes over.
Yeah, him showing up on Raw was really cool. But also, even before, like, we found out about the whole production meeting thing and stuff, Dolph Ziggler, again, on Chris Van Vliet's podcast, mentioned, like, yeah, Bischoff hasn't really done anything yet as far as writing the show. So we could be in for a lot of really big changes, I guess, moving forward.
Well, I think he's going to take his time from everything that I've read, and he's talked about it now and come out and said, yeah, all these reports of me taking over already are way wrong. All these, he calls them dirt sheets. They just don't have any clue what's really going on. And he said himself, he's got to slowly work his way in. He hasn't been all over the product like Heyman has, and he needs time to get familiar with it. And even when he is, he's not the guy who ever ran creative in WCW. He just helped manage people who did the creative, right? So he came up with something like the NWO, if you want to say came up with, as in taking the idea from Japan. But at the same time, he's not going to do that. He's not going to sit down and write every show now. And now we know for sure that Vince McMahon, even with Heyman or Bischoff writing the show, might still just come in and go, well, thanks for that, Eric. I'm going to rewrite this one anyway because I don't love it. So that answers some of our questions as to how much power they have. We know McMahon is still all over the idea that if he doesn't like it, he's going to rewrite it.
Yeah, and I'm sure both these guys knew what they were getting into when they signed on. Like, we know that Vince McMahon is never going to get full control over it until he's, you know, ready to give it all up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where else we should go other than maybe moving off of Raw and SmackDown and talking about some other stuff. AEW, they made a major announcement yesterday that their TNT TV deal is now official for Wednesday nights. I think it's 8 to 10 p.m., the rumor is it's going to be called Wednesday Night Dynamite, but that starts October 2nd with TNT. We knew the TV deal was coming. Not really surprised it's Wednesday nights, but it's pretty big news for AEW, hey?
Yeah, so, I mean, we already knew that they were going to have a TV deal. We probably assumed it would be Wednesday, but getting it, like, concrete, that's pretty cool. I'm really excited for it. I want to know what's going to happen with the Canadian rights. Like, who gets that? Is it going to be TSN?
I don't know. I would be shocked if TSN has any interest in wrestling at this point.
Well, I mean, they've shown two specials for Kenny Omega. They had the special and they had him on with Jay and Dan.
That's true. The documentaries, they're all over. So maybe. Yeah, you never know.
It won't be Sportsnet, that's for sure.
There's lots of options in Canada, right? Perhaps more interesting is the fact that they're now talking about NXT jumping over to Fox Sports 1 because of this announcement.
So just try and compete with AEW more?
The rumor is that they're going to you know, move NXT off of WWE Network, put them on Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports 1 has wanted more WWE content anyway. But my guess is that WWE probably didn't feel a need to move NXT off of the network. They had the exclusive streaming rights, all that fun stuff. But now with AEW there, and they can put them up on Wednesday nights right against the show, I mean, why not? Now you got a reason, right?
Yeah, my only issue with that is it going to change the quality of the content, because Fox is going to want to have their fingerprints on it? I don't think they will. I think it'll be fine, but it's still something to think about at the very least.
Yeah, my guess is they probably wouldn't want too much. And because Fox is the network that wants more sports, NXT fits them, right? Like, they are more in-ring, more wrestling, more than anything else. So they're a natural fit to go up against AEW, who is promoting themselves as a wrestling product. NXT is about as close to a wrestling product as WWE has. And for WWE, it's possibly not much of a lose-lose situation, because they could just move Evolve over the WWE Network if they wanted to, right? So take one off, put Evolve on there, move NXT, get your TV rights and the revenue coming from that. Oh, by the way, slap you in the face, AEW, while we're doing it, just to let you know we're still here and we're not going to let you go unopposed on Wednesday nights, right? I mean, there's a lot of reasons WWE might consider this, if this rumor has any legs at all.
Yeah. I mean, any competition is great for the fan, because if there's competition, then they both shows or both companies have put on the best product possible. You hope, right? That's what competition is supposed to be in anything. So competitive.
Well, and I'll tell you, if I'm WWE and I'm putting a product up against AEW, it's NXT, because I mean, AEW has been entertaining and I've liked most of the pay-per-views. Some of the stuff I'm not a huge fan of, but it doesn't even come close, in my opinion, to NXT. NXT is just so good. There's so many good wrestlers, good high-quality matches. You can't watch a pay-per-view without being like, geez, every match outdoes the next. And to me, AEW has not done that yet. They've had now three or four pay-per-views to try to do that, and they have not. And I like AEW, but the weakness of the depth of their roster is starting to show just a little bit. Whereas NXT has been around for how many years now and never disappoints. Like, it's just a fantastic show and a fantastic pay-per-view product. If they saw the opportunity, imagine what those guys would do if given the platform to be on a TV show up against another. They'd be all over that, right? Imagine them stepping that game up. It would just be so much better. I think, I wouldn't say that AEW is in trouble or anything like that. I'm not going that far. But if they had to go up against NXT in the same time slot, that would be hard on AEW.
Yeah, I mean, it could also do what you're saying. It could make sure that their depth has to step up, which can it? We don't know. But if it could, then that can be really good. I've had no issue with AEW TV, but you also have to, like what you're saying is NXT has always been, like, you know, lights out incredible, and that's accurate, because NXT is always good. There's not really any overexposure on the show. They do a really good job of keeping everyone, like, fresh, even though they're, like, the stars are always on. And more than anything, I think that NXT, every time you look at the NXT card for the TakeOver before pay-per-view, and I can see, like, oh, Adam Cole against Johnny Gargano, or something, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe. You're like, wow, this is definitely going to be the match of the weekend. Like, for sure, this is going to be the match of the weekend. And then you see it, and you're like, wow, this is the match of the weekend, without even seeing the WWE show. Then you see the WWE show, and you're like, yeah, no, the match of TakeOver was better.
Yeah,
it's every time without fail, you can see what the match is going to be, and it never disappoints.
Yeah, and there are some guys in AEW, Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, those guys will deliver NXT quality type stuff, if not even better sometimes. But through and through, from finish to, like, start to finish, NXT pay-per-views are just unbelievable. So you can only imagine if Triple H was to get NXT on a major network and go, hey, okay, boys, here we go. Boys and girls, let's do what we got to do, right? Like, it would be crazy good. What else is in the news today? Oh, I guess the big rumor that went around, and I don't know how much people know this, but it's a joke. It's not a rumor. It's a joke. We have this buddy on Twitter. His name is Sliced Wrestling, and we don't know him personally, but we do know that his account is fake. If you know Slice Wrestling, then you know that they're a rumor account that likes to spread whatever they spread, and that's how they get popular. Well, Sliced, with a D, came out as a spoof account of Slice Wrestling and has basically made fun of all of these guys, whether it's Slice or, you know, Brett Shepard or whomever. These guys go on Twitter and they just make stuff up and they hope that they get news and hits and follows that way. Well, the Slice has taken a piece out of that and said, okay, I'm going to make up a news rumor every day that is so ludicrous that you're like, no way, right? But the funny thing is people have been following this person, and they start to get – he gets a reputation, or she gets a reputation for being almost a credible news source when you know that it isn't. And the person who's writing these tweets absolutely knows they're making it up, and some of it is so obvious. Well, the latest one is that Daniel Bryan's major announcement, which they've been teasing on the last two SmackDowns, is that he's going to 205 Live. It's not true. It's not a true rumor. Sliced Wrestling started it, made it up as one of their spoof things, and people picked it up as though it was real. And that's he or she has just proved his point, right? That I can make up whatever I want, and the wrestling community is so all over anything that's newsworthy that they'll just follow it and make it up to, and they'll take the credit for it, and they'll write their own story. Well, it's exploded into this thing that Daniel Bryan is going to 205 Live. I'm here to tell you right now that unless something shocking happens, that is not going on. Daniel Bryan might show up on 205 Live, but he isn't going to 205 Live. He's not leaving SmackDown or Raw and headed to 205 Live. It's not happening. But I know that that rumor has been all over the place, and it's been quite interesting to watch, because when Sliced Wrestling had all of 200 followers, we started to chat back and forth on Twitter, and we've been growing together ever since. And he or she just gets a huge chuckle out of this stuff, right? Like, just loves the idea that people pick this stuff up and give some credibility when it's all baloney. So that's interesting, too, is that this whole buzz about Daniel Bryan going to 205 Live. Now, if it happens, I'll eat my words and I'll apologize to people, but it's not happening.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it seems ridiculous. It is funny. And it's funny because they do it intentionally. There are some people out there who claim to be legitimate media who have no, I mean, sorry, they might have sources. And I'm saying that with air quotes if you couldn't hear it. But, and this is across like real sports and whatnot, like not just, you know, sports entertainment, but let's say hockey, football, whatever it might be. And they claim to actually be, you know, in the loop, and they say the most ludicrous things. And whenever you look at their replies on Twitter or whatever, you'll see the exact same conversation on every single tweet. Half of it is, oh, wow, this is insane. I can't believe this is happening. And they'll take it for gospel. And the other half is, okay, so this is definitely not happening because nothing you've ever tweeted has been right ever. And if it has, you make sure that you never we never forget about it, because it's been one out of every 75 things said, because if you throw enough things at a wall, right, something's going to stick. So the fact that this person, you know, he, she, whatever it is, this account, it's like The Onion almost, right? It's The Onion for wrestling. And people are just going to, you know, eat it up because they want it. They want it to be true so bad that they'd like to, you know, just believe anything possible and suspend their disbelief. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a little nutty. Switching gears completely, did you hear or see the CM Punk transcript from his interview with ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, right? I mean, he's been announced for StarCast 3. He's the first big get by, you know, Conrad Thompson and that group to show up on All Out Weekend, which, of course, everybody then assumes he's going to be at AEW's All Out. He has said repeatedly that he's not. Well, in an ESPN interview, he just revealed that he has, in fact, talked to AEW, but not in any way that anyone would hope or think that he would. He simply text messages them before big shows and says good luck. But he's almost at the point now where he doesn't want to reply to them or text them anymore, because every time that he does, there's some assumption by the folks over at AEW or the fans that they're best friends and that something is coming. And he's like, nothing is coming. I'm only going to StarCast 3. I'm not wrestling. I have not talked to AEW about a contract offer. And the only time that they even remotely said anything to me in that way, Cody texted me and he didn't even appreciate the text because he'd rather something like that come in person. So there's really not much going on with the CM Punk AEW stuff unless, and this is like 1%, which is the 1% everybody wants to believe, talk about people wanting to believe things so badly, that they are just pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, and this whole thing is a ruse, and he's coming. But I just don't see it. Not the way he's been talking, not the way he's been chatting about how they want to talk about him all the time, and he doesn't ever talk about them. You know, just stuff like that. What do you think? What do you make of that interview?
I'll say not so much the interview. My thoughts are more the reaction, and this is the same thing with no matter what the conversation is, no matter who it is. Someone like CM Punk is a perfect example of someone who said, hey, I'm done with wrestling, right? He's out of the business. He's like, I'm good. I did MMA for a bit. I'm doing commentary. I'll do one-off shows, like the little signings. He says, like, once a year, he likes to do at least one signing a year because he wants to give back to the fans and hear from their stories and say, hey, you get something out of this that it's not the product on the TV that really gets you. It's the fact that, you know, maybe you have something going on in your life. Maybe you don't, but maybe you just need that connection. I like the hearing about that stuff. So he likes doing these wrestling things, you know, every once in a while. But people will, and an interview like this, first of all, let me ask you this. How often does CM Punk talk about wrestling in the grand scheme of things?
Pretty much only when he's asked about it.
But even then, very, very, very rarely, right? Like, even when he's asked about it, most times he ignores it.
You can tell it's agitating. And probably the only reason we got so much information out of this interview was because it was ESPN.
Sure. But my thing with CM Punk is, and it's more the fans, like I said, people will say, oh, wow, CM Punk said this for a guy that really doesn't want to talk about wrestling. The guy talks about wrestling all the time. No, the guy gets asked about it 75 times and he answers it once. That's not answering all the time. That's him saying, hey, let me finally set the record straight on this. And then it keeps going and going and going. When you're a guy like CM Punk, who's so big in the public figure and who's so big in wrestling, of course he's going to be asked about it all the time. And especially when that's the issue. He said time and time again, I'm done. But people are like, ah, but are you?
No,
because
he's
in the
not,
wrestling,
right?
In the wrestling industry, nothing is ever final. But maybe this is final. Maybe it isn't. You know what? CM Punk will probably end up in a ring again. Maybe for WWE, maybe for AEW. Doesn't matter. The point is, in his mind right now, he's done. He's out. So you can't say, like, if he says he's done, you can't say, well, that's not true. And then also say, well, why are you still, like, so involved in wrestling? If people, like, if you just let it go, people will stop asking you about it. He said, I'm done. People ask him about it. He doesn't answer it. People ask him about it. He doesn't answer it. People ask him about it. He says, fine, I'll answer it. They say, wow, you can't give up wrestling, huh? This is just no win. So I think that's where his quote you wrote about it, like, damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. No matter what he does, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. And, I mean, realistically, I don't think he's done. There's too much draw, too much money, too much potential for him to turn that down. At some point, he will.
Although it's been 6 years.
Right. But every year he's less and less relevant in other places, right? For three or four of those 6 years, there was all this buzz and anticipation that he would be in UFC. Well, then he got whooped. So then there was buzz, well, can he make a rematch? And then he got whooped again. And so now that MMA stuff is pretty much done. So it's kind of like, okay, what's he going to do next?
He's done comic stuff too and everything with Marvel and like Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah, so that's what the talk is now. At some point he'll show up, whether it's just in a ring to make an announcement or appearance or something, he will probably do it. But he clearly doesn't want to. If he does, it's only because of the money or it's because he's whatever. But he doesn't even seem like he's as bitter as he used to be, right? Like, he's not going to AEW just despite WWE. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem to have that in him anymore, at least from what I can tell from listening to his comments. That has passed over these 6 years, right? So I don't see it happening. Now maybe he shows up at All Out and that'd be great, but it doesn't feel like that from these interviews that keep coming out.
He's done the best job unintentionally at staying so relevant in the wrestling industry. For someone that just wants to live his life, I mean, the guy obviously still has a presence on social media and he's not disappearing. But there's no that's the issue the issue people have, I think. He's allowed to be a social media presence and be a presence as a celebrity or as a figure without doing it in the thing he became famous for. How, if you think Snoop Dogg, do you even think about music anymore, really? Like, Snoop Dogg is transcended. He doesn't have to do music to be huge at this point, right? That's just an example of someone that, and I'm not saying CM Punk's even close to that level. But you understand what I'm saying, where you don't have to be. How many actors or singers went to become actors and don't even sing anymore? Or actors went to become singers, don't even act anymore? You don't have to be famous in the thing that got you famous anymore. Sometimes you're big enough to where you can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to live my life. And that's that. And that's okay.
Yep. Well, I don't know, man. That's probably a decent place to leave it. I don't know if there's anything else you want to cover. Is there anything that you thought about watching Raw or SmackDown or... You know, we covered, you know, Extreme Rules last week, and there isn't really anything on the immediate horizon. SummerSlam and All Out are coming, but they're not around the corner yet. I am interested, and I'm curious to see how Raw looks now that they can get back to normal again, and what will be going on there. Same with SmackDown Live. Anything else you want to touch on before we let everyone go?
It would be real cool to see an AEW CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler match.
Well, I'm guessing it's more likely to happen in AEW than it ever will in WWE.
I agree with that. And it would be a hell of a match.
Yeah, it would be. It would be good. And AEW would promote the snot out of it, whereas WWE would promote the snot out of it being CM Punk events to whoever, right? Dolph Ziggler would be a great opponent, but I don't imagine they would push that match like AEW would, right? So either way, Punk goes over. So you're still poop out of luck because Dolph Ziggler's not getting the rub in that match, and he's not going to get the treatment that you hope he should get. I don't know. Are you even a CM, like a huge CM Punk fan? Would you still go Ziggler over Punk if you had the choice?
What do you mean?
Like, would you choose Ziggler? If you could book it, would you choose Ziggler to win?
Probably. You know what? I think both are in the same boat now, where it's like you said, Ziggler is what he is. So it's not like he's going to get a big rub from winning against CM Punk. And CM Punk, who cares if he wins or loses? I really don't care who wins that match. I just want to see a good match.
Yeah. All right, man.
Neither guy's your world champion, right? Like, it's not a long
time. Punk got his for a long time. Dolph Ziggler got his twice, but didn't last ever. So that's the difference between the two, right? And Ziggler just, he does his job, takes the paycheck, does his own thing on the side, whereas CM Punk refuses to take a paycheck if he doesn't want to do the work. So they're very different, but similar in a lot of ways, too. That would be a good match. Maybe one day we'll have to do that. We'll have to make our own WrestleMania dream card or something. And that would be really fun, actually. We should do that one time.
Sure.
Cool, man.
Maybe closer to WrestleMania.
There you go. We can even maybe do one for SummerSlam.
I was just going to say the same thing. it's the second biggest show of the year. Yeah.
Cool, man. Okay, well, let's remind everybody, anchor.fm, sportster.com, Wrestling Write-Ups, Facebook, social media, Twitter, YouTube. You can find us there. All the podcast platforms that you mentioned. We'll make sure that we get this out on the sportster.com sometime today, today being Thursday. And you can check for it on YouTube either today or tomorrow, tomorrow being Friday. So unless you got anything else you want to leave them with, buddy, thank you again for coming on. I'm going to get back to my vacation here in British Columbia, Canada, where I'm relaxing in the sun, about to go for a walk.
Nice. Enjoy your vacation, man.
Okay, man. I will talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon.
Take care, everybody.